I'm ready, if you are.
We're ready.
Members of the court, good morning. Dennis Reynolds, representing RMG, and Michael Moore, who's Ryan Moore's father. Let's start with what we do agree on.
Do you wish to reserve any time?
Yeah, I do. That's all the times I've been here, and I forgot to ask. 3 minutes, Your Honor.
3 minutes?
Thank you very much. Here's what we do agree upon. If the entitlement is a PDD, a planned development district, it's the property right, and it vests against future zoning, and it can be changed over time if the development plans change as well. So PDD, property right. The second thing we all agree is that there is a zoning entitlement placed upon the zoning map after all the land use decision making, and the zoning was general at the time, but the zoning map has as a designation UP 9-90.
But the UP 9-90 is not a zoning change. That's an unclassified use permit.
Yeah, and I'll get to that, Your Honor. You're absolutely correct. That was going to be my third proposition we agree on. Members of the court, under land use law, an unclassified use permit standing alone is not a zoning entitlement. So in this case, the record shows because of, whether it doesn't really matter how we got there.
There was the PPD was never approved, was it?
Yes, it was. Let's go over that. Let me answer.
Yeah, how and when was that approved?
Which one do you want me to answer first?
Go ahead and answer.
Yeah, let's go. So the label, to set this up, UP 9-90 opens the golf course. It's for that specific use.
Right. And then they make a major amendment. We're aware of the facts, and when they approve the 96 lots. But that's not a PPD.
In this instance, it is for these reasons, respectfully, members of the court. First of all, the major amendment label was just that. This wasn't an amendment that changed something that had already occurred. This was an amendment that went on to approve land use applications that had been specifically reactivated after the UP approval. And those applications were for the residential component of the project. Those applications were for a PDD-UP amendment. As we point out in our briefs.
But Ms. LeMay asked that the PDD application be reactivated. The county moved forward with a major amendment preliminary plat approval, and that's all.
They didn't call it a preliminary plat approval, and that's not correct what they did.
They did not approve any rezone change, though, did they?
That is not correct. Members of the court, LeMay did not create this unique process. The county was making it up as it went. The county decided to process a residential component of this project, the PDD/rezone/plat approval, as a major amendment. That was their label. As we point out in the decision, you can't do a plat approval by a major amendment to a UP.
So assuming we accept your argument, then what they vested to were the 96 lots. So that doesn't help you with...
That's also not correct with due respect, Your Honor. They vested to a special residential density at the time it was...
For the future is your argument.
Yes, and at the time...
And so what are you relying on for that argument?
There's 4 points. We put all of those on the brief. Let's start with the fact, no matter how hard it is to follow the county's logic, or what they did because they were making it up as they went, apparently. We end up with a zoning map for general zoning. There's no density requirement on general zoning, but there was a special density requirement imposed in the first major amendment. Now, again, that label is the county's
label. The major amendment was just for 96 homes, 96 single-family lots.
That's correct, but it set a special density for that zone when there was no special density that was applicable, Your Honor. So let me stop, and in our briefing we lay out that the findings were made, required findings were made for a PDD entitlement, and the findings for a plat approval were not. We simply have to accept the fact that what we know now with the predictability of land use decision, the Regulatory Reform Act in 1995, the Growth Management Act, we all know this. But this is 1990, before those laws, and so it's not what the county said they did, it's what they did.
So how is this? Let me interrupt on that point. The PDD application asked for a golf course on 120 acres. It asked for 96 or 97 single-family residential lots, 2 acres of commercial, and a rezone.
That's
what was in the application for the PDD.
Yeah, right? That's correct.
Okay. And the county approved the golf course. The county approved the 96 single-family lots. Where in the record did the county approve a rezone? Are you arguing that you're somehow vested to a rezone?
No, the rezone, as far as we can determine, was a commercial 10 acres. I don't see in the record what was approved, though the record shows that the may have been paying a tax for a commercial designation for that land for all these years. Stay with
Where
me.
Where did the PDD apply to change the zoning on the 120 acres of
the
golf course?
The PDD approval is, Your Honor, a zoning entitlement. Our argument is that the First Amendment, which was a label of convenience by the county, approved a residential component of the property as a special density. Remember, the major amendment is for the entire property. It's not just for the property that was rezoned.
It's for the 96 lot.
That's not what the record shows.
But that's how the county treated it.
We don't know that.
When they came back, when the LeMays and then Otaka came back and asked for extensions, we can pick this up on your rebuttal.
I'll be ready. Hopefully.
You have 3 minutes.
May it please the court, my name is Court O'Connor. I represent Pierce County. The original attorney on the case, David St. Pierre, has since retired, so I'll be presenting the oral argument today. In this case, the weight of evidence in the record simply does not support the petitioner's contentions.
Well, don't we have findings from a hearing examiner? So we're not looking at the weight of the evidence. We're
That's
looking
true.
At the findings.
In fact, substantial evidence supports the hearing examiner's key findings that the 1990 plan development district and rezone application was abandoned 27 years ago and was never finalized.
Well, you do have this major amendment issue, and so it was a bit peculiar. What was done, and what does the record show, and what do the findings support?
I'm not sure that the situation in this case was all that peculiar because...
Well, the hearing examiner seems to indicate that he's somewhat befuddled about what the county was doing.
However, development plans and permitting strategies can change over time. Remember back in 1990, the area was zoned general, so there really was no compelling need for a planned development district back then or a rezone because the zoning at the time allowed the uses that were being proposed by the developer.
Including the 96 lots?
Right. So in the record, there's conversations going on between the developer and the county. And this is reflected in the administrative record that it was quicker and easier for the developer to develop the property.
No, this is the letter that is relied on, where the applicant chooses the option of a major amendment.
So there's two key letters. That is one of them. That was the June 26, 1990 letter from a planner, Doc Hansen. That's on administrative record 14, pages 343 to 344, where Mr. Hansen summarized an earlier meeting confirming that LeMay chose to proceed with the unclassified use permit to develop and open the golf course. And then there's another key letter later on after Ms. LeMay wrote the letter wishing to reactivate the Plan Development District application, there was some further conversations and another key letter dated January 10th, 1991. That's on Administrative Record 14, pages 365 and 366. Excuse me. On that letter, Planner Grant Griffin referenced some earlier conversations with the developer's agent, stating that the application for a development of the residential subdivision and water tower on Lot 3 would be processed as a major amendment to the unclassified use permit. And so over the course of time, the property was developed under the unclassified use permit, which did not change the zoning. And there was never any appeal of the original approval of the unclassified use permit, the major amendment to the unclassified use permit, the extensions of time under the unclassified use permit. None of that was ever challenged or appealed. The record shows that this property was developed under the unclassified use permit, which did not change the zoning.
But the zoning later changed.
It did. In 1995.
When was that?
1995, Pierce County adopted its first comprehensive plan, which was enacted after the state enacted the Growth Management Act. And what the new owners are asking this court to do now is to reach back before adoption of the Growth Management Act, 27 years in the past, and revive a 27-year-old application. But the record does not support that assertion or that request.
Well, what they're arguing is that they were vested to the density that applied to the 96 lots. Why is that argument wrong?
I think they're arguing that they were vested to the original densities under the 1999 general zone.
Yeah, that's right. But right. You've just argued that allowed the 96 lots, so that's the same thing. But go ahead.
Okay, but there was a substantial change in the zoning which restricted the parcel sizes in 95 when the zoning changed.
Well, you're not answering their argument about why. They're arguing they vested to the density in 1990. Why is that argument not correct?
If they had stuck and pursued the original plan development district and rezoning application, there would have been vesting. But the record clearly shows that old application has long since been abandoned.
Then that's because your position is that the approvals were granted under the unclassified use permit, not the original application for PDD.
Correct. And the record also shows that was done with the agreement of the owners at the time.
And there's some debate about that in the briefing, obviously.
Right. Although it's the burden on the petitioners, the appellants, to show that the hearing examiner's key findings were not supported by substantial evidence. And the evidence must be viewed in the light most favorable to the party that prevailed below, and that was Pierce County. So therefore, the appellants simply have not met their burden before this court today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Members of the court, I'll try to answer your questions. First, there is a zoning map. The county doesn't argue that UP 9-90 designation on the zoning atlas.
Now, is this the map that the Superior Court allowed you to supplement the record
right.
and admit, and then the Superior Court reversed that decision?
No, it reversed... No, he allowed the map to come in. Jeez.
And then he vacated that.
Right.
No, he didn't vacate. He vacated one portion of it. I'm very sorry. That part I didn't prepare for. The order that was vacated
well,
was...
Well, do we have the map or not?
You have the map. It's in the record, and it's Appendix A1 in our opening brief. You'll find two orders in the record, and he vacated... One part, he allowed the map in, but vacated the portion that the county could not argue waiver. So that's what happened. So the map is part of the record, members of the court. I'm sorry, it took me a chance. In many cases, I haven't memorized all of them, but that's what's in the record. So, folks, how are you going to put this thing together, folks, members of the court? when you do this for this many years, I use my colloquialisms. How are we going to justify the county's position if there's a UP map, zoning designation, and there's covenants?
Where is the zoning designation? Are you saying the zoning designation is UP 990?
Yes.
Okay, UP 990 is a 120-acre golf course that was amended to allow 96 single-family homes. How is it anything more than that?
Don't look at the major, don't look at UP 9-90, that's the golf component. You need to look at the major amendment, Your Honor. And that major amendment, please.
I'm trying to square out. The major amendment was for 96 homes. It was not for anything over the rest of the golf course. I'm trying to figure out where we get the zoning change that's going to freeze the residential zoning on the golf course area. Where did that come in?
No. The major amendment, the zoning map, and the conditions, the covenants that run with the land all cover the entire acreage. And I explained this in the opening brief. In fact, what was platted was a different part of the tract than the golf course. So members of the court, when you take this under advisement, work from the map and the covenants, which are all consistent with the PDD. Work from the fact that the major amendment was a label of convenience. Work from the fact that the findings for a PDD are found in the major amendment. Then look at pages 3-4 of our reply brief where I give an answer to your questions, all the bullet point fashion. Thank you for your kind attention. If you could indulge me, this is my 45th year, and I'll be moving on soon. It has been my honor to argue before this court.
It's been a pleasure having you.